are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Presumptive clinch and a meltdown or two or three. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are ya? It's been a while since we convened in this setting, right? Before Memorial Day weekend, and same as it never was, as the primary season 2016 comes in for a landing tonight. How bizarre is it? Hillary Clinton officially has been named the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party already since last night. The AP, NBC, and then CNN all claiming it. She went over the top there, 2,283 plus one, with big wins in the U.S. Virgin Islands. A caucus, Senator Sanders, no kidding. And apparently a big win in Puerto Rico, although they're still counting the votes. It was such an arduous Sunday, they took yesterday off, so they'll resume counting today. No wonder they're in debt. We'll talk about that. Bernie Sanders, by the way, his campaign saying zero chance the campaign will be over tomorrow. But what about that phone call over the weekend from President Obama? We'll talk. Meantime, on the Republican side, people are talking about rescinding their support of Donald Trump. The guy has had not one but two major meltdowns in the last week and a half. First taking on the press over his vowed veterans contributions, and now taking on one of the judges involved in his various Trump University fraud cases. We'll talk all about that. I know your comments have been coming in feverishly on Twitter, Facebook, email. We'll get to all of that. And invite you to join us if you're listening live. It is Tuesday, June 7th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. You know by now, it's a 24-7 proposition on Twitter at AB Writes. Our social media maven Aurora in the booth with the Facebook page open, so have at us. The show today brought to you in part by Old Navy. Enjoy great savings on early summer styles and swimwear at Old Navy. Also by AT&T, mobilizing your world. And by PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation on air, online. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. So grab yourself a hot cup or a tall, cool glass of Joe, and let's go. It's our California Scheming Coffee Clatch edition of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Welcome aboard.
In the sky, on your
Watch your mouth.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
That never were, are parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. Without a friend, you pack your car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? Parking cars and pumping gas.
She's looking for a polling place in San Jose on the Amy Beth Erkley Show. That's Dionne Warwick, of course. Scott McKenzie, flowers in his hair, but no campaign buttons because he can't go through that threshold at your polling station with the campaign paraphernalia. In San Francisco and California revisited from America. It is the final Super Tuesday of the most bizarre 2016 presidential primary season. The big enchilada, California up for grabs, the Garden State, New Jersey, the Dakotas, New Mexico and Montana all voting today, and even though it's all over but the shouting, and there will be a lot of Bernie or Buster shouting for sure, both campaigns, Clinton and Sanders, want, they're urging voters in those states to get out there and show a good turnout because they want your votes, and it's important. You know, even if it's symbolic to get your feelings heard, I mean, I know in New York there were times when we voted later than I think we voted in April when it was all over but the shouting, and I still like to vote on primary day. So get out there and vote if you're registered to do so in any of those states. Even Trump, I think, is campaigning. We'll get to him a bit later. But what a historic moment. I mean, really, it came with very little fanfare last night with declarations from the AP, then NBC, then CNN on board that Hillary Clinton had crossed that threshold and is now the presumptive nominee. Historic. First woman ever to be the nominee of a major political party. History in the making, for sure. And very impressive. But I think the Clinton campaign, as well as the Sanders campaign, wanted to wait until tonight to hear any of that kind of information. But we'll see what happens. Bernie, as we said, still vowing and digging his heels in. They did say they would reassess after today's vote. That's why it's important, if you're a Clinton supporter, to vote in California, because I think he believes California will be some kind of a symbolic victory for him, should he win. And it's going to be very tight. I think it's going to be a thin margin either way, which means it'll be a wash in terms of delegates. So she is going to be the nominee. She is the presumptive nominee. I know people on the Sanders campaign and Sanders supporters keep talking about, you're not going to really have all the votes in without the superdelegates, and they can't cast their votes technically until the end of July when we have the convention. That's true. That's been true for 40-plus years since they've had, or 45 years, whatever it is, since they've had the superdelegates in place. President Obama in 2008 wasn't officially the nominee until you got to the convention. In fact, nobody's ever the official nominee until the convention. You know what I'm saying? Because the same thing with Donald Trump. You're the presumptive nominee because you have the delegates, the requisite number, presumed until you get there, and then it's official. So, yeah, things could change, but it would have to be something major to change. I mean, the only thing that could change for Bernie Sanders is if he could persuade a sizable number, if not all of the superdelegates who are pledged to Hillary Clinton to go with him, and that, of course, isn't going to happen. It has never happened in the history of the process where they've had the superdelegates, and it will not happen this time. And Senator Sanders, who's all about the will of the people, shouldn't want it to happen because he would upend the popular vote. She has a substantial 2 million, 3 million lead. Thereabouts, somewhere in that range, and she's got a pledged delegate lead. That's not going to change tonight, no matter what happens in the outcomes, even if he wins all six primaries, which is doubtful, and by a sizable margin he'd have to win, a huge margin. In other words, he needs more delegates than there are out there to win. That's called doing the math. I'm not a big math fan, but it's there. It's a reality, and you have to face it, and I just think we're entering sore loserdom if he does anything short but endorse Hillary Clinton. I mean, in fact, in 2008, when Barack Obama became the presumptive nominee, again, did not have the superdelegates officially cast their votes, it was Bernie Sanders, even before Hillary Clinton pulled out and conceded, who said he is now the presumptive nominee. So it's time. It's going to be time tonight. It wasn't time before, but it's going to be time tonight or certainly tomorrow for a quick reassessment and a support of Hillary Clinton. I know there are people who want to see this go on throughout the convention. I think that would be a disaster for the Bernie Sanders supporters and a disaster for the Hillary Clinton people and a disaster, frankly, for the whole country. Because Donald Trump, although right now he's unhinged and flailing in a major way, will get his act together again, at least briefly, and come after Hillary, and we want to get those polls short up, and we want to get the momentum towards the campaign in a big way against Donald Trump, because this is important. This is very important if you believe in salvaging this democracy. Look at what the Republicans are saying, with Donald Trump becoming unhinged about this judge, Gonzalo Curiel, who is overseeing one of his Trump University fraud cases out in California. Last week, the big thing happened. The judge allowed documents to become unsealed, and this was what they really didn't want. So, of course, to deflect view of what was in those documents about Trump University essentially being a big fat scam and a way to suck money out of people who really couldn't afford it, elderly, uneducated people, people who were down on their luck, typical scam, basically. And all over the country there are lawsuits. Some of them have been settled or thwarted. Others are pending. I don't know. There was somebody throwing something around on the Internet, which I have not verified, and I suspect it's not right, because, you know, you have to check your sources on the Internet, that he was going to be charged criminally. And I really don't know what the threshold is. I think we got to get a legal expert in here. Why? We haven't crossed the criminal threshold. These are all civil lawsuits. But there was some speculation or some rumor going around that he was going to be charged with a RICO statute, which is serious federal offense. We'll see how that plays out, but I'm not counting on that. But there's certainly a lot of fraud charges pending and lots of stuff coming out on this Trump University, which could prove to be Donald Trump's 47%. You talk about someone who is really not on your side. The plan was to make people, delude people into thinking we're going to help you and make your lives great again. Well, that's what he's trying to do with America, scam America. And this is the theme that Hillary Clinton and her campaign has hit upon, and I think this could work as one of their many things against Donald Trump, and, of course, things they have to do to bolster her own approval ratings, et cetera. But we need Bernie Sanders in that camp because the Democratic convention in Philadelphia is not until the end of July. So do you want to go another 6-7 weeks with this, contesting the convention and the outcome and the will of the people in the Democratic Party? I don't think so. I just don't. I want your views. We have conflicting views coming in via Twitter, via Facebook, emails, and I don't want to have you express yours. So please reach out via Twitter. It's AB Writes. If you're listening live on Tuesday, June 7th, 347-857-4505 is also your ticket to the show. And the Facebook page is open. We got lots of folks chiming in there, so let's start there. John says, well, in 2008, Sanders endorsed Obama before Clinton formally exited the race. It's time for Bernie to do the same thing. Have courtesy, Bernie. You may be a Democrat in name only, but you signed on for this. Yeah, I think that's true and that's fair. You know, Bernie Sanders, for all his carping about the rigged system, he signed on for it. He had to know or should have known the rules of the game, including the superdelegates. Again, we can argue whether this is fair, whether the process should be changed, but the game that you signed on for and the rules that you have to abide by are in place for this time and this round, and you lost this round. And you have to accept it and be a gracious loser and a good loser. And don't, you know, he's digging his heels and quoting these polls again. I'm beating Donald Trump. I'm the stronger candidate. He wants to convince the superdelegates of this. I don't think they're going to go along with it because the polls are ephemeral. And Bernie Sanders, hey, you've gotten a free ride. I know he complains. He and his wife like to complain that they've been overlooked and nobody gave them coverage. Well, part of nobody giving you a lot of coverage is also you haven't been vetted in any serious way. Ask Donald Trump. He's first getting some vetting now. Unfortunately, that's part of the media's issues, but that's true. Hillary Clinton has been vetted and eviscerated for so many years that a lot of her unfavorables are baked in. Coming after you about that socialism thing, your polls would really sink in a major way, Bernie. So I'm sick and tired of this using that as your only calling card. That's all he's got, I guess, but enough is enough already, as they say. Who else is coming up here? Well, this Carol posted an article, about Donald Trump, saying that the Florida AG solicited a bribe from Trump before shutting down a university case. There was a case pending in Florida. I guess these Trump University cases are all over the country. And Pam Bondi, who's the AG of Florida and has been talked about as a possible running mate for Donald Trump, I don't think it'll happen because she really doesn't have the requisite experience. And now this is a new taint to this case. But apparently, you know, I don't know if it's a bribe, so to speak. It's a political contribution, and apparently Trump did give $25,000 to her campaign or one of her campaign committees while she closed down the case or while the case was pending, and later it was dropped in Florida. So it's interesting. There are some states, and it's kind of murky out there about who said what and what states had they weigh in. He believes that the case should be thrown out because he has comment cards that rate the course highly. Well, it turns out there were former students who said, well, somebody was standing over us and it kind of embarrassed us into writing the comment cards. Other people wrote comment cards on the first seminar and didn't realize what would happen once they ponied up for the big $25,000, $35,000 investment for the whole scam of basically you get a bunch of binders and you get to have your picture taken with a cutout of Donald Trump. That's what people got out of this course. It's a shame. But Donald Trump believes it would all be thrown out, and that's why he's pursuing the case. In fact, he did say, which I thought was so Trumpian, that he, in fact, is talking about reopening Trump University because it was so successful. Unbelievable indeed. Reach out via Twitter, AV Rights, phone line 347-857-4505 on the Twitter feed. Chessie says, hey, great to have you back. Love the show live. Usually listen on podcast. Trump's got to go. And Winona says, hey, don't be careful what you wish for. They're now talking about dumping Trump. You might get Kasich, and then Hillary will lose. Well, I don't know how we're going to get Kasich. I don't know how they're going to get out of it. I know that there were some people talking about, I think it was Lindsey Graham, who was a vehement adversary of Trump for a long time, but then reluctantly supported him, and now he's kind of rescinding. He's urging people, if you're looking for an off-ramp, this may be your time. At some point, he said, love of country will trump hatred of Hillary. So he may be inclined to withdraw his support. Other folks who pretty much skewered Trump in his comments about this judge who's Hispanic descent not being able to be objective in the Trump University case, and Trump doubled down on it on these talk shows. I mean, I think there's something wrong with him. I don't know if it's psychiatric, neurological, or perhaps subconsciously he just wants to sabotage himself. He's going on TV repeating the fact that this guy can't be objective because his heritage is Mexican, and he says, well, yeah, he believes he's strong about his heritage. I'm building a wall. I'm building a wall, he keeps saying over and over again. It'd be hilarious if it wasn't scary, the prospect that he's close enough to possibly get into the Oval Office. Scary indeed. But I don't know what would happen. I mean, you talk about that. At one point, they were talking about a contested convention in Cleveland. Then, of course, everybody was coalescing around Trump. Now, it could be a contested convention again. I don't know how that would work, though. If he has the requisite delegates, I guess some delegates, the people that were unbound, could change their mind and maybe something could happen there. Anything is possible, I suppose. It's going to be very interesting. Newt Gingrich, I guess, kicked himself off the shortlist for VP because he pretty much called Donald Trump out on the statements that he made, and then he was backpedaling a little bit later yesterday because I think he wants back on the list. Paul Ryan, again, he just supported the guy like a day before all of this hell broke loose. He's still supporting him, but he says that his comments are textbook racism. And they are, for sure. And then, of course, on the Sunday talk shows, Trump then doubled down and said, well, they asked him, well, what about a Muslim judge? Because you are thinking about a Muslim ban. Would they not be objective? Maybe not. And now somebody came out from the Trump campaign and said a female judge also might be biased. So basically nobody can judge Donald Trump except Donald Trump. And it also came out that he's the most litigious candidate to ever run for president. He has been involved in 3,500 lawsuits. To be fair, he's won most of them, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he has enough money to run out the clock on the other litigants. And he settled a bunch, even though he always says he never settles. He has settled several. And he's lost a few, too. And I think the Trump University cases are not going to go his way, although who the heck knows? We'll see. Reach out via Twitter, AB Wright's phone line, 347-857-4505. Sandy says, Bernie or bust? It's bust. He's over. Leonetta says, Bernie or bust? I'm voting for Bernie. If he doesn't win, I'm not voting. Your choice, Leonetta, but I ask you to reconsider that because you want to think about the best person to forward the agenda that you'd like to see set forth. And Bernie's agenda is very close to Hillary's agenda and far closer to Hillary's agenda than Donald Trump's. And sitting it out or voting for a third party or something really does sort of give away your voice. And I don't think people should do that. But it is your choice. You can do it if you so choose. A lot of people do. That's why we have a lot of apathy. All right. This is a fun thing I picked up, this song from the crazy genius mind of Loudon Wainwright III, the funny folk troubadour. He came up with a song about Donald Trump and the vision of the future. It's called I Had a Dream, Trump Was President. Give a listen.
I had a dream, I don't know what it meant, but a dream Donald Trump was our president. There on election night, right by his side, stood his beat, Chris Christie, along for the ride. It gets work, just wins more. He made Jeff Sessions Secretary of War. Just like he promised, he built him that wall. He blew up Cuba and he carpet bombed Montreal.
Scary, just you wait. situation.
Well, now you're an idiot.
Yeah, look, let's forget the whole thing, huh? I never want to hear a...
Do you think I can?
never gonna get my love. Poor girls cry when they try to keep you happy. They just try to keep you satisfied. The big stuff, tell me,
who do you think you are? The big stuff, you're never gonna get my love.
Trump is running around with the American heart tucked under his hair. The spinners on the Amy Beth Erkley Show, Gene Knight and Mr. Big Stuff, Randy Newman, Mark Knopfler, it's the money that matters. They're Bernie or Busters, worried that the billionaires will have control of this election cycle yet again. And the great crazy mind of the genius Loudon Wainwright III, I had a dream Trump was president. Ouch, don't let that happen. Blue, no matter who, it's time to unite around Hillary Clinton. Twitter feed AB Writes, Paco says, just voted for Hillary in New Jersey with her all the way. Liz says, I'm a Bernie or Buster, but it may be time to concede. Yeah, it may be. And Elke says Bernie should run as an indie if he doesn't get the delegates he needs. Well, he's not going to get the delegates he needs, and if he runs as an indie and he's vowed not to do it, that would surely help Trump's cause. Do you want that? Think about it. You know, people have a right to vote however you want to vote or not vote. I mean, all of those things are true, but I say reevaluate it and take a stand because every voice is important. And I think if enough people thought about their vote and thought about what difference it makes and how we really have a clear choice here, they would make the right one. I'm telling you to vote however you want to vote. Vote your conscience but and your heart, but think about it and give yourself some time to think about it. And I think, you know, it's fair for the Hillary Clinton campaign and supporters to realize what the Bernie Sanders people and Bernie Sanders himself brought to the campaign and how it hurts to lose. I mean, remember, if you were a Hillary supporter 8 years ago, there were the PUMAs, so to speak, the Party Unity My Arse group, that vowed they would not vote for Barack Obama because they were mad that Hillary didn't win and they were mad that she wasn't on the ticket as a vice presidential candidate. But, you know, most of those folks came around. Some didn't, I guess. Some people sat home or voted for a third party. I doubt that many of them voted for McCain, but some of them might have. I mean, you know, you don't want to vote out of spite. You want to vote with what you think is right and who you think is going to best support the causes and the vision that you have for America. And Hillary Clinton is much closer and much more closely aligned with Bernie Sanders' vision than is Donald Trump. And I think just Trump's rhetoric and his history and the way he's conducted his life and his businesses and just this Trump University thing is so emblematic of who he is, what he's about, and just the reckless commentary that he offers on every possible subject and his ignorance is so blatant and scary that you don't want that man anywhere near the Oval Office. So if you believe that and Bernie is out of it, then you have to throw your support towards Hillary, I would think. But you don't have to do anything, but it just makes sense if you think it through and calmly think it through, and we have time to do it. But I think it's important for those of us who are supporting Hillary Clinton to say, well, we understand where the Bernie Sanders people are coming from and how hard it is to be in a campaign that doesn't quite make it, and to accept the next best. And that's what it's about, and it's going to be up to Hillary to reach out. And she's already starting to do that, and she's been doing it for a while, and she'll continue to do more of it. But it's also going to help Bernie Sanders to finally accept it too, accept the math, and realize that it's time to unite and try to do the best he can to help the Clinton campaign. You know, of course, move all those progressive agenda as forward as it can go. But the winner is the winner. You know, there were some reports that he wanted to have veto power over who she put into the cabinet. I mean, this isn't going to happen because the winner gets to decide. She's not going to be crippled by someone who didn't make it, didn't beat her. I mean, it's just not the way it works. But some concessions have been made in terms of the platform committee, probably will be made in terms of the platform itself, which, by the way, is no great shakes because both parties have their platforms and not too many people have to adhere to them. There's no rules that say the president or whoever has to adhere to it. So that's really not that difficult a concession to give up. But, you know, on we go to the convention. I hope it's more of a united front, especially with what's going on with Donald Trump and the fact that the Republican Party is still fraying now because of his erratic behavior and commentary. So that's my take on it. I want to hear yours, of course. Twitter feed is AB Wright. Phone line is 347-857-4505 for those listening live on June 7th. And the Facebook page is open as well. So do we have that up again, Aurora? A lot of folks chime in here. Beatrice said, just did it. Voted for Hillary. Today we will shatter that glass ceiling and make history. Rise, Madam POTUS, rise, she says. Okay, Beatrice, we'll see what happens. Long way to go still in terms of the campaign. That's why we need everybody to do it. There's an interesting article that was on Politics USA, which is a good blog. They say Bernie Sanders embarrasses himself by disputing Hillary Clinton, clinching the nomination. Marty posted that for us on Facebook. And basically, you know, his statement that they issued yesterday, last night, after the AP and then NBC declared Hillary the presumptive nominee. Part of it when it is unfortunate that the media in a rush to judgment are ignoring the Democratic National Committee's clear statement that it is wrong to count the votes of superdelegates before they actually vote at the convention this summer. Again, and the article goes on to say, it doesn't matter if it doesn't become official until the Democratic convention in Philadelphia. Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee. The superdelegates aren't going to flip. Senator Sanders can force a vote at the convention, but the result of this academic exercise will be the same. It is ironic that the same candidate who spent much of his campaign claiming that superdelegates are undemocratic now wants those same undemocratic feature of the democracy of the Democratic primary to hand him the nomination. They go on to say, the truth is that Senator Sanders is hurting himself with these absurd claims that the Democratic contest is not over. There is no precedent for the superdelegates flipping to a candidate in the large number that Senator Sanders would need to become the Democratic nominee. It is simply not going to happen. That is the article by Jason Easley on Politics USA, and I kind of agree wholeheartedly with that statement. It isn't going to happen. And again, the word presumptive nominee means obviously you're not officially the nominee until you are officially nominated at the convention, but that doesn't mean you need to contest it for the next 5-6 weeks. That's my point. We really need to coalesce, and I think we need to do it sooner rather than later. Time to reassess. Have a quick reassessment, a quick chat with Jane, Tad Devine, Jeff Weaver, and come to some, you know, amicable exit here and support Hillary Clinton. I mean, President Obama allegedly had this discussion with Bernie Sanders over the phone this past weekend, and I think the reporting of it, though we don't know exactly what was said surrounding it, was it was glum, meaning Sanders and the campaign's reaction. He is being pushed out of a race that is over. So, you know, he's going to say he's been pushed out. He's not being pushed out. It's being urged to accept reality, accept the math, get behind us, help us, and let's defeat Donald Trump. That's what's being said here. We'll see what happens tonight. Keep talking to us, by the way. Twitter feed AB Wright's phone line 347-857-4505. I want to say a few words about Muhammad Ali. As you know, the boxing legend and cultural icon who was known as the greatest passed away this past weekend at the age of 74. He suffered from Parkinson's disease for at least 30 years, right? A lovable figure in his later years, but was quite controversial when he was younger as a fierce boxer. Born Cassius Clay in Louisville, Kentucky. He changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He said he gave away his slave name, converted to Islam, said some very controversial things, big court case regarding his conscientious objector status during the Vietnam War. It cost him something. You know, he had a lot of principles, and it cost him. Principles sometimes cost you. In the age of Twitter, we don't think that so much. We figure we make a tweet, and we can say what we want behind closed doors, and everything's fine. No effect on your life, but it cost him 3 years of his boxing license was revoked. He had a hard time making a living. He said some very controversial things. It took him a long time to become the lovable figure that he was thought of in his later years. It's interesting because Piers Morgan was on Twitter, speaking of such, yesterday, saying that Muhammad Ali said a lot more racist things about white people than Donald Trump ever said. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I'd have to go over a comment. And we didn't have, Muhammad Ali, I don't think, was tweeting any time in his lifetime, but that may be, that may not be, I don't know. But I could tell you this, Muhammad Ali was not running for president, Donald Trump is. There's a big difference. So thanks, Pierce, for chiming in from your perch no longer on American television. And I like Pierce Morgan. I'm not denigrating him, but I just think when people come out with these crazy statements like that, you're comparing apples and Twinkies. I mean, it's nothing to do with what the rhetoric that's going on in the presidential campaign, and we haven't heard such a racist, overtly racist person run for president, I don't think, since George Wallace. And he was considered a fringe candidate, not the nominee of a major party. Anyway, having said that, we want to salute Muhammad Ali. And also the coverage was strange surrounding Muhammad Ali's death. This is what bugs me about cable TV. He passed away late Friday night. There was nonstop coverage from Friday night through Saturday on Muhammad Ali, I think on all the cable outlets, with very rare exceptions. And I just don't get it. I mean, it's an important story, and certainly you should cover it. But to cover it, saturate it with no other stories, boggles my mind. They did that with Prince, and CNN does it every time an airplane goes missing. It's crazy. I mean, let's balance it out, because people are tuning in at different times. I get that. You want to mention it every hour or every half hour, but to only mention it and have panel discussions and guests nonstop is a little bit mind-boggling to me on the death of anybody, even an icon. But he is worthy of remembering for sure, and who he stood for, what he stood for, and who he influenced. This is a one-hit wonder from Johnny Wakelin. I think it came out in 1975. It's called Black Superman, Muhammad Ali.
He knows how to fight, and all because I'm just a poor boy. Is this normal behavior for him?
Well, the word normal and him don't often collide in the same sentence.
He was born in the Bitterroot Valley in the early morning rain. Wild geese over the water, heading north and home again. Bringing a warm wind from the south, bringing the first taste of the spring. His mother took him to her breast, softly she did sing. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him the love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild Montana skies. His mother died that summer and he never learned to cry. He never knew his father. He never did ask why, and he never knew the answers that would make an easy way. But he learned to know the wilderness and to be a man that way. His mother's brother took him into his family and his home. Gave him a hand that he could lean on and a strength to call his own. And he learned to be a farmer, and he learned to love the land. And he learned to read the seasons, and he learned to make a stand. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him a love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild Montana skies. On the eve of his 21st birthday, he set out on his own. He was 30 years in running, but he found his way back home. Riding a storm across the mountains and an aching in his heart. Then he came to turn the pages and make a brand new start. Now I never told the story of the time he was gone. Some say he was a lawyer, some say he was a John. There was something in the city that he said he couldn't breathe. There was something in the country that he said he couldn't leave. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him the love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother. Some are glad he's gone. Some of us will miss him. We'll try to carry on. Giving a voice to the forest. Giving a voice to the dawn. Giving a voice to the wilderness in the land that he lived on. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him a love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild Montana skies. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him a love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild.
Well, it did not say much, but
I follow him on Twitter. I guess I was a wee bit mistaken.
I'm from New Jersey. I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. I'm from New Jersey. No, I don't talk that way. I watch too much TV when I was young. I'm from New Jersey. My mom's Italian. I've read those mafia books. We don't belong. There are girls from New Jersey who have that great big hair. They're found in shopping malls. I will take you there. From New Jersey, it's not like Texas. There is no mystery. I can't pretend. I'm from New Jersey. It's like Ohio, but even more so. Imagine that. I know which exit and where I'm bound. Tolls on the parkway, they will slow you down. New Jersey people, they will surprise you. They're not try harder. They may go further. They never think that they are good enough.
coffee time. Coffee, coffee.
John Gorka, yeah, they're voting in the Garden State. I'm from New Jersey. John Denver, Wild Montana Skies, an assist from Emmy Lou Harris. Big Sky Country voting today, too, as is Montana, we said, North Dakota, South Dakota, and New Mexico. Couldn't find song. Sorry, guys. And also we heard a pair saluting the greatest, Muhammad Ali, Black Superman from Johnny Wakeland, circa 75, and John Cove and Alison Krauss, a great version of the Simon and Garfunkel classic, The Boxer. Mm-hmm, indeed. It is the Ann Beth Erkley Show. We have the Twitter, AB Wright's. A few minutes left on the phone line, 347-857-4505. On Twitter, Sin says, hey, thanks so much for playing the Muhammad Ali song. Haven't heard it in ages. Good show. Fritzy says, enjoying the show. We'll have to listen to the back end on podcast. Yeah, they're all archived as such. Don't forget, you can follow the Ann Beth Erkley Show at the Blog Talk Radio site. In fact, there's an app for that at BTR, also at Stitcher, Mixcloud. And you can download episodes at iTunes and NetNow. And be on the listen if you get the Arts Radio Network on your local radio station. We're available via those stations on the weekends and also on PopNet. All roads, by the way, lead back to the website, amybetharkowee.com. That's the place also to chime in with your Inspiration to Action Challenge success stories. Today we're saying hi to Cecilia in Burlington, Vermont. Yeah, your senator might make news on the good side of things by tomorrow. We'll see. But good news for Cecilia. She says she's working on a novel. On and off for 7 years, on the shelf mostly, but I got started with the challenge. It's working for now. I'm not sure where it leads, but I'm in a groove, so thank you for the encouragement and the help. Hey, keep me posted, Cecilia, and maybe we'll help you a little bit more along the way, but thank you so much for reaching out. Hey, if the Inspiration to Action Challenge is working for you or has worked for you, by all means, I'd love to hear from you, give you the shout-out you deserve, and I know it helps spur other folks on. So reach out. It's the website amybetharkowee, ARKAWY.com, easy access via the Twitter feed. And that's the place to go to for a creativity coaching conversation. First one always on me. Give me a week or two to connect, closer to two, I think, as the schedule is kind of tight. But we will do that and offer you a primer on the challenge as well as some other tips that might get you in the right direction, becoming more creative and productive, and that's what it's all about. So please do that. And speaking of creativity, I want to note the passing of Peter Schaefer, a noted playwright who passed away at the age of 90. Apparently he just got sick last week and died. His agent said it was just his time. He wrote a bunch of plays, including Amadeus and Equus, which I remember seeing as a kid. I'm not sure how old I was, but too young to really see it, but my grandparents used to take me to theater all the time. And it's important to take kids even to adult plays they might not completely understand, because it embedded some kind of creative seeds in my head, a very daunting, psychologically complicated play. Don't be afraid to take kids to it. I mean, I was a fairly sophisticated child in terms of understanding literature and the arts, as much as a young kid could do. I mean, I was like 12, maybe 13, I don't know, I was young. And really too young for that play on paper, but and saw it later in the movies and another stage version many years later, and certainly had a much greater understanding. But it's important to spark those creative juices and engines at an early age, and I am always indebted to my parents and grandparents for doing that, exposing me and my sisters to all of those kinds of things in the arts. Don't be afraid to do it. I mean, we went from Jack and the Beanstalk at the kids' shows to pretty adult theater, and I never regretted it. It hasn't hurt me. It just planted some seeds and got the imagination sparked, so to speak. So just do that if you can. But Peter Schaefer, of course, left behind some great work. He will be missed. It is the Ann Beth Erkley Show. A few minutes left here on this big final Super Tuesday. And big news also as we go to the Twitter feed about the election. Somebody posted the statement that Hillary Clinton made 8 years ago to the very day when she had to concede to Barack Obama. She said, although we weren't able to shatter that highest, hardest glass ceiling this time, thanks to you, it's got about 18 million cracks in it, and the light is shining through like never before, filling us all with the hope and the sure knowledge that the path will be a little easier next time. The time is now. So congratulations to presumptive nominee Hillary Clinton. She'll have a big speech, no doubt, tonight at some point. The next step, of course, is up to Senator Bernie Sanders. Give him a chance. We'll see what happens. A laughing liberal also on Twitter says, consider if Trump had any intention of denying Hillary Clinton the White House, he'd have debated Bernie Sanders. He works for her. Well, it's working out that way, kind of. Wary says, good morning. Thanks to all who vote today in New Jersey and California primary. Hillary Clinton, on primary day, please bring it home for her. Well, it's going to happen, that's for sure. But it would be great to have a good finish. And as I said, people should get out there and vote, because it feels good to just go in there and exercise your vote, however you feel. I mean, if you want to vote for Bernie, vote for Bernie, for goodness sakes. And I guess if you want to vote for Trump, but I don't get it, but if you do, that's okay. Shatana says, Hillary Clinton story unfolds, democracy matures, triumphs, people participation at its best, women power on the rise, a new era begins. Wow. All right, let's go, kids. I'm excited, too, I have to say. And I thank you so much for joining us in real time. It's always fun to play with you guys in real time, but you know I do it 24/7. Well, I don't do it 24/7, but the Twitter feed is open and we review it. So I'm not sitting there, you know, at 5 in the morning tweeting, but I will check it as often as we can. Facebook page is also a place. If you friend me, we'll give you some updates on the Radio Graffiti page, etc. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, at Radio Trudy. Time for her to update that Twitter feed again. And you can follow me for the 24/7 conversation at AB Writes. So we're almost ready to sashay out of here. I guess so. Yeah, are we? I suppose we're going to talk. You know, there are a couple of other things that are on my mind. This horrible story out of California that you probably have heard about. The Stanford University swimmer who was convicted 3 felony counts of rape, and he only got a 6-month sentence. We're going to talk maybe more about that on Friday, but I don't want to give it a short shrift. Very outrageous situation and outrageous comments. Horrible, sad comments from the victim and outrageous comments from the perpetrator's father. We'll talk all about that, I think, a bit more on Friday. Also, I wanted to get to this professional cuddling. We'll talk about that, too. They're not related, but... Anyway, we got busy with the political nonsense as usual. Big day tonight. We'll see what happens with the next chapter with Senator Sanders. I hope he does the right thing. And Bernie or Busters, give yourself a chance to heal, but come on board because the future looks bright if you back Hillary Clinton and we move the agenda to a progressive one forward. Keep moving forward. I think that's always the key. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. Whatever you do, wherever you go, please drive safe, play nice, dream big. I hope you come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkwi Show. I want to thank the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, and Mella headquarters for keeping us moving as we sashay out of here. One of New Jersey's own, a favorite son who's backing Hillary Clinton, Bon Jovi with Jennifer Nettles, says he can't go home yet. Take care. We'll talk soon on the Amy Beth Arkwi Show. Bye-bye.
Take it in, take it with you when you